Will you stand with me this morning, please? We're going to look at Micah chapter 5. Before we look at Micah 5, though, let me just remind you, Pastor Trey's already talked about that next Sunday, we have one service at what time? 10:30. At 10:30. It's our New Year service, and our youngest son is preaching next Sunday. He was born here 1 year after we came on Mother's Day. Regina says it's still the best Mother's Day gift that she's ever had. I'm not sure about it, but that's what she says. But he'll be ministering next Sunday morning, 10:30. Invite you to be here and bring somebody with you. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we read a story that was written 700 years before Jesus was born. This is what Micah prophesied 700 years in advance. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. In other words, he's saying you're small, you're insignificant, you'll never amount to something great. Some of you are here this morning. The enemy has lied to you. And he has said, you know, you're not the oldest, or you're not the youngest, or you're the middle child, you're the forgotten one. Or your parents don't remember this, or maybe they do remember that. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've been passed over of jobs this past year. Maybe the marriage or the family didn't work out like you had hoped or planned. Bethlehem, the Bible says, was a little town. And yet, as we continue reading, from you, Micah prophesied, one will go forth, that one is the Messiah, to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Now let me tie that in with the New Testament. We're in a series right now looking at the seven I Am statements of John. And today we're looking at John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, Jesus has already fed the 5,000 with loaves and fish. He's already walked on water, and now he's talking to his disciples, and they think that he is talking about natural bread. And so he said, we want that bread that gives life. John chapter 6, verse 48, he transforms the conversation from natural to supernatural, and he says these words, our verse of the week, read it aloud with me today. Let's read together. I am the bread of life. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor. Maybe there's somebody nearby that you don't know. Would you welcome them? Introduce yourself. Step out of your comfort zone. Let them know you're glad they're here today. Hey, Jacob. 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 It's good to see you, man. Welcome home. How long are you home? It's good to have you. Let me tie Micah's proclamation and his prophecy to John chapter 6. In your notes, Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem means house of bread. So the bread of life was born in the house of bread. It was something that Micah had prophesied 700 years in advance. Now, the timing wasn't perfect. How many of you agree that sometimes when God works, the timing is not what you want it to be? Yeah, God's timing is not always my timing. I like it my way. I like it when I want it. I like it now. And God says, I want you to wait. And I say, I don't mind waiting as long as you'll do it right now. Now, I don't know about you, when we drove to church this morning, we got here a little early, and on the way to church, the streets were empty. It was so nice just to be able to drive and come. I think next Sunday we'll tell people, hey, it's Christmas again, okay? Actually, I'd rather tell them that in Austin on Friday night. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And yet we look at Jesus and his mother, Mary. She's 9 months pregnant, and they're living in this city, and God says, you know what? 700 years before I prophesied through Micah, you're going to be born in Bethlehem. So I've got to get you from here to there. And this morning, God is wanting to get some of you from here to there. And to do that, he's going to have to make some things uncomfortable. What a Christmas message. He's going to make some things uncomfortable. And so it's about a 90-mile trek that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in the womb had to make in the winding roads to get to Bethlehem, the house of bread, so the bread of life could be birthed in that city. And yet when he got there, people didn't recognize him. And yet he came forth from the Virgin Mary. See, God has a plan for your life this morning. I'll say it again. God has a plan for your life this morning. And he will take you from this point to that point if you will follow him. But sometimes, Johnny, it's not an enjoyable trek. Can you imagine being 9 months pregnant and riding on the back of the donkey for 90 miles? Now, that is not enjoyable. I remember Regina and I, we were in a different state up north, and we were having to come back home, and she was expecting with child. And, babe, where are you? Was that when we got in the bus? Is that when we? So we had to get on a bus because the people we were with, the car, some situations that happened, and so we weren't able to ride back in the car. So we got on a bus and we rode through the night because she had to go to work on Monday morning. We had to be there. Now, I don't know about you, but traveling 9, 10, 12 hours on a bus is not my idea of having fun, much less if you're pregnant. Come on, ladies, help me out. But Mary's situation was more dire. But she was carrying the Christ child. This morning, and before I move on, let me just say it one more time. God will get you from here to there. But sometimes the road in which he gets you there is not comfortable or enjoyable. In your notes, I want to talk about the bread of life. Three things. Number one, Jesus must be the core staple of our lives. The core, the center. Our lives must revolve around him. In today's passage, John talks about the manna that comes down out of heaven. Jesus is talking about it. John records it. Listen to what Jesus said. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread. The true bread. The real bread. Some of us this morning, and America is snacking on imitation bread. They're snacking on bread. Now, I don't know how many of you, and if you love this, forgive me, okay? This is Christmas. Everybody say, I'll forgive you. But there have been times in our 40 years of marriage that Regina and I were trying to lose weight or whatever, and so one time we bought this cardboard. I think they called it rice cakes, but it's cardboard. I don't know. Who came up with the idea to call that food? That is not food. That is cardboard. And we're eating this cardboard. It was horrible. It was like, why? You say, well, Elwin, you needed to put peanut butter on it. Hey, I can douse that thing with jelly and grape juice and all the other things until the cows come home. It's still not good. Some of you this morning, you've been eating rice cakes, and this morning in the oven, God has some hot, fresh bread. Our boys are coming in today and Tuesday, and Regina got up this morning. She rolled out the bread. I said, why did you roll out the bread? She said, because I'm going to make homemade cinnamon rolls in the morning. Can somebody say praise the Lord? I hope our kids sleep in so I can get them to my, I'm sorry. In the Christmas spirit, I hope they wake up in time for one. But there is nothing like homemade cinnamon rolls coming fresh out of the oven, the smell wafting through the house, and her putting the cream cheese icing. She doesn't drizzle, she baptizes. We are Pentecostal, we baptize. And she baptizes those. And then I, just like Jesus, I sop it up. See, everybody knows Jesus was from Texas. You knew Jesus from the South. Because of the Last Supper, he took the bread and he sopped it and he gave it. So we know Jesus was from Texas. And Jesus is just like this. He says, I give you the bread. I give you the bread. Listen, go back to John 6. Moses did not give you the bread. I want to ask you this morning, who's your Moses? For some of you, your Moses is your job. You think your job is your source. For some of you, your body, you've been working out. This year, you have transformed yourself. I want you to know, this body right here is made without steroids. Okay? Y'all just hurt my feelings. I mean, this body, I never have I put steroids in this body. And you're going, we can tell. Smart aleck. Maybe your Moses is your family. Maybe it's your house, your car, woo, your golf club, your rifles. Oh, am I hitting it yet? Maybe your Moses is something other than God. See, in America, we use bread as a side dish. It's not the main course. But in Jesus' day, it was not an afterthought. It was the main thing. As the bread, he must be the core, the center, the staple of our life. He must be the bread in our marriages, our jobs, our families. He must be the bread in our church. He must be the center of our lives, the focal point. Bread's one of the most common foods in all of the world. If you go to Poland, you'll see bagels there. You go to Italy, you'll see ciabatta. You go to France, baguettes. In Ireland, soda bread. Russia, dark rye. Tortillas, Mexico. In Texas, you get hamburger buns. Hallelujah. You get bread. Bread. It's all around. Jesus is available to everyone. Whether you're in Texas or Poland or Italy or France, he's available. Earlier, Trey said, he was quoting in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Would you just read that with me? It's on the screen. Let's read together, will you? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This morning on Christmas Day, we have the privilege of dedicating Mia. Mia, I don't know where you are, but would you bring Mom and Dad up here? Okay. There you are. Come on, Mia. Brittany, I think you told me, did you say she was? You were trying to figure it out the other day. As the mom, you're supposed to know. So, Mom, tell me, how old is Mia? How many? 2 months old. 3 months old. Come on up here, John. Isn't that a pretty picture? Now, Regina and I have had the privilege of knowing this young lady since she was just a teenager. 12? Okay, so about 10 years. And so this is Mia. And she was born just a few months ago. And they want to dedicate her to the Lord. So I want to challenge you, because baby dedications is more about the parents than about the child. Baby dedications is saying, you know what, we're going to set the example. So in relationship to the message, it's saying we're going to make Christ the core staple, the bread, the center of our lives. So I have three statements or questions I want to ask you. Number one, are you willing to train this young lady to know Jesus Christ? Number two, are you willing to pray for her that she'll come to a personal relationship with Jesus? And then question number three, are you willing to set the example before this congregation, before your family and friends? Sorry about that. Are you willing to do these things? If you are, would you say, yes, we will?
Yes, we will.
Can I come? Can you come here? Oh, you are precious. 3 months. I love little girls. Isn't she precious? Oh, y'all come on up here. Would you stand with me this morning? Somebody get a picture. Yeah, get a picture. Honey. Abraham was 100. Y'all are really making me mad this morning. You've laughed about my body, my age. What else? Come on, church. This is Christmas Day. Let me live my fantasy. We have a responsibility to this young lady. Number one, to love her. Number two, to love these parents, to come along beside, to pray, to support, to encourage. If we'll do these things, would you tell these parents and this young lady, we will?
We will.
Father, with our heads and hearts bowed this morning, we bring Mia before you. We thank you for this precious gift that you give. And Father, we pray that at an early age she will come to know Jesus, serve you all the days of her life. We ask you, Father, that you'll minister to John, that you will help him as he leads his family, to Brittany, that you'll bless their marriage and their family. Lord, thank you so much for your incredible love and for this gift that you give. In Jesus' name, and everyone says,
amen.
May be seated. Brittany, John, that you have given her to the Lord to be dedicated, so now we give her back to you to raise her in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I got some things I want to give you, a certificate to remind you of this day, and then some things in here. Would you give them a hand as they go down? Love you, girl.
Thank you.
Bless you. Bless you, John. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bless you all. While they're going down, I think it'd be an appropriate time. You know, on a Christmas day, you come and you enjoy it. God bless you. We're glad to have you. Thank you. For those that are watching online, thank you so much. But there are people who sacrificed early. They got here early this morning, 7 o'clock, so that we are able to enjoy a service like this. Would you let our tech, our worship, our team, would you let them know we appreciate their work? Thank you, guys. Bless y'all. Thank you so much. Secondly, in your notes, as the bread, Jesus will continually sustain us. Jesus said, I am the living. Everybody say living. I am the living bread. For bread to help you, you have to consume it. For Jesus to help as he desires, you've got to receive him. Some people hold him at arm's length because they don't want him to interfere or mess with their life. If you want the power, the energy, the strength, the peace of the bread, you've got to receive him into your life. To eat something is to assimilate it, to take it within. Too many are leaving Jesus on the shelf rather than, is that my mic? Let's just switch it. Too many are leaving him on the shelf rather than accepting him in their life. And until he gets on the inside, he's not going to be able to help you and maintain what he wants to do on the outside. See, today, remind yourself whose birthday it is. If I do this, you'll laugh at me a third time this morning. But I'm going to do it anyway. When I was down here before I came up to the platform, somebody was up here and they were talking. But, you know, how's it go? They say it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Come on, help me out. They say it's your na 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 na. Okay, that's enough. Don't forget it's his birthday. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. Sing. Open gifts. Have fun. But don't forget what it's about. Allow him to sustain you. Listen to what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 6. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus didn't say I'm the caviar of life or I'm the truffles of life. He didn't even say I'm the Pringles of life. He said, I'm the bread. I'm the one that sustains. I'm the main. I'm the strength. You are sustained by what happens inwardly, not by what happens outwardly. See, manna satisfies inward and gives that strength inward for temporary help. But the Spirit in Jesus and the bread of life sustains us spiritually so that we can live outwardly. The manna, it was for one nation, but the bread of life is for whosoever will. The manna was delaying physical death, but Jesus brings spiritual life, and that more abundantly. It's true to say Jesus was the original wonder bread. Partake of him, eat of him, desire him, welcome him. The word companion comes from the Latin word that means one who shares bread. Today, as you eat together, this week, as you have companions, as you have companionship, may you share bread. See, the bread of this life can't buy you the sleep or the peace or the joy, but the true bread can sustain you in the midst of life. I see Jeremy sitting here on the second row. Jeremy waves so people know who I'm talking about. Last Sunday morning, after the service was over, I met Jerry in the lobby, as I normally do. And Jeremy shared this with me. Jeremy, I think this is what you said. Tell me if I'm wrong. Don't embarrass me, though. Didn't you tell me that you were excited about this Sunday because this will be the first time that you were ever in church on Christmas Day? Here's a man that wasn't raised in the house of God. Yeah, go ahead. Here's a man that wasn't raised in church, and yet he's given his life to Christ. He's transformed by the renewing of his mind and by the Word of God, which leads me to point number three in your notes. Jesus is the only one who can completely satisfy. Everything else, say everything else, is simply a cheap imitation. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." What's Jesus declaring? He's saying, "I'm the answer. I'm the one." In the 13th century England, the bakers had a control over the bread market. And so some of them were very advantageous, and they would skimp on the flour. And they would make smaller loaves. So King Henry III, he heard about this, so he made a decree that you cannot skimp on it. You've got to give what you're supposed to give. And if you do, you could go to jail or you could be beheaded or killed. And so there was fear among the bakers because they didn't want to die simply for a piece of bread. So this is where the 13th piece of bread came in that is called the baker's dozen. This morning, Jesus is more than enough. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that God satisfied Israel with the bread of heaven. During World War II, the Germans enlisted 12 and 13-year-old boys to be a part of the junior Gestapo. They had them do things that were not acceptable and that would haunt them for years to come. After the war was over, what they tried to do, the doctors and psychologists would meet and they would set up a tent city for these boys. But they found out that during the night, the boys would wake up, some of them would wake up screaming. And so this is what they did. One of the doctors or psychologists got the idea to give them a full meal, put them to bed, and give them a loaf of bread and tell them, don't eat this until you wake up in the morning. They would sleep through the night knowing that when they awakened, they would still have something. As I close this morning, Jesus is more than enough. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Will you bow your heads this morning? With our heads bowed this morning, as you look in your own life, as we look at the bread, as we look at Bethlehem, as we see what Jesus has done for us, have we accepted him as Lord of our lives? Have we made him not just the babe in a manger, but have we made him our Savior? Have we surrendered? Have we made him our Lord? I'm going to lead us in a corporate prayer this morning. As I lead us in this corporate prayer, the congregation is going to pray aloud after me. And as they pray this prayer, I invite everyone in this place to pray this prayer with me. And in so doing, on this Christmas day, we're going to celebrate not simply a baby in a manger, but a Savior in our heart. You say, "Pastor, I don't want a Moses. I don't want my job, my family, my health. I don't want a Moses to be my substitute Savior. Pastor, I don't want to eat on the crumbs of life. Pastor, I want the bread of life, the living bread, the true bread, the bread that was born in the house of bread."
then as I lead us in this prayer, this is not a prayer of membership. This is only a prayer of relationship. I invite everyone in this place to pray this prayer aloud with me. And in so doing, we're going to surrender our lives to Jesus. Would you pray this prayer with me this morning? Father God, I open myself to you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I surrender to you, and I thank you that you are now Lord of my life. Thank you for doing what I have asked. Now, all across this room, with heads bowed, you say, Pastor, when I walked in this place, my relationship was not right, but I've asked his forgiveness, I've surrendered to him, and now he's Lord of my life. With heads bowed, would you simply just slip your hand up, allow me to recognize it, you can put it right back down. I'm not here to embarrass you. It's just a statement of faith. It's an acknowledgement, a confession, saying this morning, I made a decision. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? I believe there are others. I believe there are several others, actually. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Anyone else? You say, that's me. This morning, I want you to know I made a decision to follow Jesus on this Christmas day of 2022. Anyone else before I move on? Would everyone stand with me this morning? The Bible says in heaven right now, the angels are rejoicing. Can we just rejoice with them and say, thank you, God, for what you've done?